Hello, this is Michael Bozzi. Welcome to Marketing Without the Marketing. Glad you can be here. This is the podcast where I try to teach you everything I know about content marketing 10 minutes at a time. And look, I know I've been going over that with this social media strategy series that I've been doing. And today's going to be no different. Today's topic is Snapchat. I got a lot to say about that. It's one of my favorite new platforms. And it's really funny that right after I launched my episode last week on Instagram, Instagram actually launched something called Instagram Stories, which is a direct ripoff of Snapchat. And it just shows you the impact that Snapchat has had on the social media marketplace. Now, it would have been cool if Zuckerberg had a new idea, but hey, that's the way business goes, right? If you're doing something right, expect people to mimic you, even if it's one of the largest companies in the world. Now, that doesn't mean that Instagram will win, mind you, but they could be drawing some attention away from Snapchat. So let's look at why that may or may not be the case, and more importantly, what it means for you and your business. Let me stop for just a second for a quick word from our sponsor. Okay, back to the show. One of the most frequent questions I get is, should I use Snapchat for my business? And this makes sense. There's been a lot of talk about Snapchat as sort of the next big thing. But you don't just want to jump on the next trend, right? Just like anything in business, you want to do it with a strategy behind it. So let's look at the considerations behind whether or not Snapchat is going to be good for your particular business. Now, if you're not familiar with Snapchat, it seems to want to function as everything. It's sort of all forms of communication in one app, right? So you can use it to send text messages. You can use it to send video messages or send photos. You can use it to make video calls or actual phone calls as well. And the kind of cool thing is there's some playful filters and geo filters, and you can add icons, emojis, draw on your pictures, all sorts of overlays that allow you to get really creative with it. And you can tell it was pitched at a very young audience, or at least to start. And I think this was an intentional strategy. It was sort of known as the sexting app when it first started, because one of the hallmarks of the platform is that the content disappears, right? So it's not collecting data on you. It's not saving it on some server. So you can see why it would have started as that. But you know what? It's so much more than that now. So many different uses to it, and I wish I could credit this, but someone said it was the very closest thing in an app to interacting in real life. It's a big statement. Now, here's the thing about the platform, though. Discovery of other users is very, very difficult. So to cut to the headline on this, Snapchat is much better at nurturing an audience than it is growing an audience. And there are good uses for this in your business should you decide to use it. But to help you with finding new folks to follow, there are third-party apps to do this. My favorite one is called Snapcodes, and there's some other apps like that too. Now, in some ways, I think that Snapchat was kind of purposely designed to be hard to use, and that may sound counterintuitive, but let's face it, it kept the older demographic away from the platform while it was sort of getting its legs, at least at first, right? And there's no doubt in my mind that there was a concerted effort to go after that younger demographic. And as Facebook has shown, nothing gets rid of that younger demographic quicker than having older people on the platform. But as Snapchat grows its user base, it'll be interesting to see if they can maintain that, or if this is just sort of a natural evolution and, you know, a concerted strategy to do that. Either way, for people like me, this will be really interesting to watch. I don't think you should just sort of write off the platform because the demographic is young, and if you're not selling to younger folks, oh, it will be of no use to you. I don't think that's the case, and we'll get to that in just a second. But a little bit more on some of the character of Snapchat. Yes, you can use it for texting, for individual back and forth, but there's a couple different things that I should mention about the platform. One, you're able to chain some content together in something that they call Snapchat Stories. So think of that as one-to-many communication. And you can take a series of snaps, that's either photos or short videos, and chain them together into a narrative. These stories last for only 24 hours, and then they disappear. And Think about what this means for a brand or a marketer, right? If you have someone's attention, they have to check back regularly to see if you posted anything new. So Snapchat creates this urgency or sort of a form of scarcity with this feature. And there's no other social platform that does this as well as Snapchat does. So you may feel like you need to check your Facebook account once or twice a day, but if you miss a day, who cares, right? You can catch up tomorrow because the stream is live and will remain there. Snapchat's not like that, which is kind of an interesting thing and just a thing that makes you think differently about producing content for it. And of course, the other side of the argument is that, well, why am I going to produce content if it disappears in 24 hours? Isn't that sort of a waste of time? And of course, like I would say, with any content strategy is you're going to be making multiple uses of your content. So think of it as you're not going to be wasting this content. You might use it, and I'll get into more strategies as I go here in this podcast, but think of it as, you know, it's sort of a raw behind the scenes look, a little bit more unscripted on Snapchat. And it's really the chance for you to test out an idea before it's fully formed and polished in a way you'd use it for another platform. All right, back to that in a second. The last thing that I want to talk about is memories, just as far as, you know, an overview of the platform. Memories is something that's fairly recent to Snapchat. They were trying to allow you to save things to it, which was, you know, starting to maybe make a concession to the new folks who have joined the platform, maybe the older demographic. But with all of the use of the other major social networks, we kind of got used to having a timeline, or at least, you know, having sort of a view into the recent past. And while Snapchat was kind of against that initially, you can see they're sort of making concessions to grow the platform. Now what you're able to do with memories is produce your story, publish it, and it allows you now to actually save that, and it'll hold that in the app for you indefinitely. So now you can, you know, republish it, or you can share it with friends, you can snap it again. Really sort of a shift in the platform, and it's kind of cool. I think this will be really good, and the thing that I think will happen with memories is that now it's going to challenge people, I think, to make better and more professional content, right? If it's going to last, you know, I think that'll be the effect. I think people want to just try to put a little bit more into it. And we'll see. That could have a positive effect or a negative one. I mean, that's the thing that people like about Snapchat is that it's not so produced. You don't need a large budget to create interesting content. And, you know, to that end, I should mention this. There are some folks who are doing professional content on Snapchat. So if you look in the story section, you'll see some big brands that are in there. Brands like ESPN and some of the major magazines, BuzzFeed is in there too. And those brands pay to be featured. And forgive me, I should check this, but it's I think it starts at $300,000 to get in on this. So obviously for small brands like you and me, we're not going to do that. We're just going to build an audience organically, talk to them in a bi-directional way, make them feel a part of it. It's not to say that the big brands can't do that, but I just think it's easier and a much better opportunity for the small players. Now, as I said before, it's very difficult to discover users on Snapchat, which is why it remains challenging to grow an audience on the platform. It is much better for nurturing that audience once you have them. There's a feature in Snapchat now where you can recommend something, but most people still just ask you to screenshot a snap code. So if you've ever seen this, if there's a snap code there, take a screenshot, and then through the Snapchat app, you can go in and add that user right from your photos. Really cool feature. They have a find other users nearby. So if you're with a friend and they're on Snapchat, very, very easy to add people. So it's pretty easy to do that if you know who you're looking for. That's the only way that it's easy to add a new contact. You just literally tap that snap code, it adds a new friend. And there's no other network that's as easy as that. Again, provided that you know who they are and you have their snap code. But discovery is an entirely different issue. You really do have to rely on third-party apps for this. You know, and really where you see this the most now is other social networks, right? So Twitter, you'll see people who have their avatar actually be their snap code. And not only Twitter, you'll see that on Instagram too. As I mentioned, I think the best of the bunch is an app called Ghost Codes. It also makes a lot of recommendations for you, and you can search different categories based on your interests, so that's kind of cool. So, you know, all this is just showing that the platform is changing very rapidly, and there are third parties who are coming in to try to help with some of the quote-unquote shortcomings of the platform, so it's going to be interesting to see how this all evolves. All right, so let's talk strategy, though. Snapchat, in my opinion, is best at sort of a behind-the-scenes look at you or your business. By its very nature, it's not for hyper-produced content. It's for stuff that's more real or raw. And it's an opportunity, if you see it that way, for you to show a side of your business that's more personal, right? Give your audience an insider view. Show them a process. How do you do things in your business? Let them peek in on a meeting, for instance. Let them in on a debate that you're having internally, and maybe even let them weigh in. Now, the important thing is that this isn't professional content with a permanence to it. It's definitely more personal and relaxed and, you know, just a way for you to sort of more freely show your personality, you know, that real people work at your company, that there's a passion and there's a mission to what you do. And think about this, right? This is a very different flavor than the way most businesses use a social media account. You would never see this type of content on LinkedIn, for instance. And that's what's great about Snapchat. It gives you an avenue to actually produce this type of content where you can make these connections that are very, very different than the more sort of buttoned up atmosphere that you get in something like LinkedIn. Now, of course, business is all about relationships, and this is a way to build those relationships, to make people feel like they have a connection with you. And like I always say, the more that you can make this relationship function in a bi-directional fashion, the stronger that relationship will be. And that right there, that hasn't changed in hundreds of years. People buy from whom they trust. Now, I want to get into specific strategies for how to use this, just so you can make, you know, make a determination as to whether or not this is a good platform for you. But first, let me give you some good examples, some people for you to check out, just some folks who are really making good use of Snapchat for business. So the first one is a guy named Mark Suster. You can find him at msuster, M-S-U-S-T-E-R. This might be the best example of a good business use of Snapchat. Mark kind of uses it as an informal teaching platform for small businesses, covering a variety of topics, right? How to raise money, how to craft your pitch, tips for good presentation, and tons of other stuff that's really pitched at startups. But his snaps are super well structured, and it's very clear that he's thought this out a lot before he launches them. He calls these things Snapstorms, and he actually has a website that's at snapstorms.com, and I'll put a link to Mark and his Snapstorms account there in the show notes. Now, it's easy to see the benefit for Mark. He gets to showcase his knowledge, build up trust with people, you know, that he's the guy who's knowledgeable about such things. And he does this all by teaching people some of the nuances of venture capital and private equity. I mean, he just does a really great job. And if you want to see someone who's just doing it right, Mark would be a great place to start. Now, the next person I'd urge you to check out is Erica Blair. Her account is The Erica Blair. Again, I'll put that in the show notes for you. Erica's really big on building trust with an audience. She takes a little different flavor than Mark. It's a lot more informal and more focused on sort of inspirational, get out there and do it type content. But the thing Erica does really, really well, which is good as a model, is that she asks a lot of questions of her followers. So she'll pose a question, for instance, and then ask people to snap her back. And then she'll talk about those topics, right? So it's a great way to generate ideas for new content, and it really makes your audience feel like they're involved, which is really cool. And the other cool thing about Erica is that she's often snapping from places like Thailand and Nepal, which just makes it really intriguing to follow her. It's really, really great stuff, so I'd urge you to check that out. And last but not least, there's a guy named Jay Acunzo, who's here in Boston. He's making really good use of Snapchat to promote his excellent podcast called Unthinkable. If you haven't listened to that, please do. You should subscribe to that too. Just great, great stuff. You can find Jay on Snapchat at JayAcunzo. Again, I'll leave a link to that in the show notes. His snaps are all about his sort of writing and production process, a sort of deep behind-the-scenes look at how the podcast comes to life. Now, he does some inspirational stuff, too, to sort of take you along on his journey, but I really like that he shows over and over again how important discipline is to producing a successful, well, anything, really. And that's a big thing for Jay, and I appreciate that he's really, really consistent about that. But the other cool thing that he does is that he dives into really instructive Snapchat stories on particulars, things like building a script, or the editing process. And like Mark and Erica, and really anyone who's using Snapchat effectively for business, Jay really makes you feel like you're an insider, that you have sort of a, you know, a backstage pass to his show, and, you know, and you're learning something at the same time, which is awesome. Now, I should talk about my own account, too. I'll be honest, I haven't used Snapchat too much for business purposes, even though I said it's one of my favorite apps. I don't have any clients who have really jumped on this, too. It's still very new, and to some, it feels sort of outside of their primary goal, which is to build an audience. And as I said, it's hard to use it for that. It's more for nurturing the audience you have, and I should probably use it a little bit more for business. But I just find it to be very versatile. I mean, I use it to connect with friends and my wife, and it's great for that chatter back and forth, to make plans, etc. And the thing that I really appreciate about it is the concept that it's not just saving terabytes worth of images and other text content, right? I kind of like that it disappears, you know, rather than clogging the web up with all this ephemeral content. I mean, do we really want everything to be saved? You know, just making dinner plans with my wife, that doesn't need to be saved for posterity. But for my Snapchat stories, I usually embrace the artistic aspect of it. As with Instagram, I tend to take, you know, some photos that I think are kind of cool, then manipulate them into something that's hopefully somewhat creative. And, you know, I'm not sure that has a real business use, but one thing that it does serve for me is it shows a side to me that you might not see on Twitter, for instance, and that's a good thing. I don't tend to be really visually oriented, so Instagram, Snapchat, these are not primary channels for me. I mean, I have fun with them and all that, but, you know, really the best thing I can say for a business use is, look, if it gives a little window into who I am personally, that might make a small difference to someone, right? So who knows? So as long as it's not, you know, taking up a huge chunk of time and it's letting someone in on you and who you are, that's great. And the way I think of it is, you know, people hire me for my creativity more than anything. So it can't be a bad thing to show that I'm creative in different ways. And for you, you know, you'll have to find your own use of the platform, but let's just go through some strategies to get you started, right? Set up your account, you know, connect with some people that you know, use an app like Snapcodes to find other users, and, you know, start with the audience that you already have. Like I said, it's good for nurturing that audience, so start with them. Content-wise, start producing narratives, just plan them out in advance. And think of this as your test kitchen. So you're just trying some stuff out before you produce a blog post or a podcast or a video. It's a chance for you to sort of get those ideas in front of an audience. And then, you know, do what Erica does and ask people their opinion. Ask them to snap you back. And once you learn something about that, iterate now, right? Bring that in if you can. Be very grateful, be very thankful to the folks who help you. Call them out and give them kudos. But definitely, you know, you want to take that information that you've learned, take that back to what you're doing and apply it. And then now, once you've done that over a couple of ideas, now think of how much better that blog post is going to be, or that podcast episode, or that video. I mean, all of this is going to help you in a really good way of sort of, you know, just getting your ideas out there live. And we'll talk more about that with some of the other platforms. Periscope is another great one for that type of thing, where you just get to test out an idea before you actually, you know, put the work into producing a more professional version that you want to be permanent. And lastly, I would say just don't be really formal. This kind of defeats the purpose of Snapchat. Like, people want to see the real you, warts and all, seriously. just, you know, don't think of it as I've got to produce something that's really professional. It's not going to last, right? First of all, when you're just starting, very few people are going to see it. It's a chance for you to practice. Great. But also, it's not going to stick around for years and years as well. So, you know, it frees you up a little bit just to show a side of yourself that maybe others won't see. And, you know, obviously, you want to keep that sort of consistent with your brand. Want to make sure that it's not completely, you know, off the rails for what people would expect from you and your business and your other social accounts. But pull back the curtain a little bit, right? Just show a little bit more of your personality. I mean, that's what Snapchat is really, really good at. And so you should play to its strengths. If it's really good at that, do it. Give it a try. See what happens. So, like I said, don't just jump in with no plan. Don't just jump in because, you know, you feel like everyone's doing it. Don't just jump in because, you know, it's the next big thing. Oh, everyone's there. I got to move. Just go in there with a strategy. You know, have a plan. Try some things out. And just like in any other content strategy, as you start to do that and you start to iterate, eventually you'll get better and better at it. And you'll determine for yourself whether or not this is a good platform. It's fairly low risk because you're not putting permanent stuff out there. So try it, see what happens, and then make a decision one way or the other. It's really, really that simple. All right, so that'll about do it. I tried to keep this as short as possible, but my goodness, like I said, I had a lot to say about this, but I hope that this helps you sort of figure out, is this thing good for me or not? And either way, whether that's yes or no, I hope that this helped you sort of think through the issues. So stay tuned. I'm going to keep going on this. I'm not sure what the next one will be. I want to get into Facebook ads, Twitter ads, Facebook groups, Medium. Those are all the things that are on my mind. So hit me up and let me know what you'd like to hear about. But I also have some other ideas that I want to trace as well. But I definitely want to keep going with this social media strategy series. It's been a lot of fun so far, and I think it's been helpful to a lot of people. So I appreciate all your attention as always. Thanks very much, and we'll see you on the next episode.